The water we drink today has been around in one form or another since dinosaurs roamed the Earth hundreds of millions of years ago. Looking at photos of Earth from space, you can see that our planet has more water than land, but less than 3% of all the water on Earth is fresh water. Even then, just 1% of that fresh water is easily accessible, with much of it trapped in glaciers and snowfields. And with a world population now of over 8 billion people depending on that water for life, it's more important than ever that we protect the water in our rivers and lakes and the habitats they provide for nature. Karen Griffin is an environmental officer with Inland Fisheries Ireland. She recently attended a Chagask farm walk in Corrow to help farmers understand how they can protect our waterways.
So today is a great opportunity to meet local farmers. We have the River Brown Flesk in the yard here behind us, and that's a salmonid fishery, so it has salmon, brown trout, eels and lamprey. So they're doing some great work, the landowners along the area, with planting trees and water quality issues, and I'm here today just to explain a bit about the river and what's in the river. So to show them like the sequences in the river has naturally riffle, glide and pool sequences. So the pool holds the fish, the riffle area is the important areas for spawning, that's where our salmon come back in up into the winter time and lay their eggs under the gravel, and the trout lay their eggs in the same place. So just to show them, you know, when they have like crossings or fords or stuff, that the areas that are important, I suppose, to stay away from and protect. And just explain the importance of water quality, but also the habitat, how to protect the habitat. So like that, planting your trees and stuff protects the bank. It gives shade to the fish that are in the water. It also gives litter leaf, which is the food for the invertebrates. The invertebrates are the food for fish. So it has a great impact to keep our waters cooler as well, because obviously with climate change, our temperatures are increasing in our rivers and lakes. So the upper reaches are very important to keep cool. And just by planting trees, that would say that does the work for the fisheries, but also it helps the farmer because it stabilises their banks, protects our banks from erosion. It's a natural protection. And also it filters out or absorbs some of the nutrients coming off the land. And also if they have like waterlogged fields and stuff, it takes the water out of the fields, so it dries up their fields. So it's a win-win for everybody.
From an environmental point of view, a lot of farmers are now involved in the Signpost programme, or they're learning from those farmers that are involved in it. What are the main things they need to learn and to stop doing or to change what they're doing in order to protect our rivers?
The big thing I'd say would be looking at, again, our smaller systems, our smaller watercourses. So it's not about the size of the watercourse, it's the quality. So if there's gravel, clean water, that's a fantastic area for spawning for our fish and our eels. So it's to highlight them areas and protect them and not take them for granted, because sometimes people, or we might relate them as a drain, so we'll dig it to release water. But obviously the more drainage we have, the more water that's going into our rivers and going in at a faster rate. And it has a huge impact on our rivers, because our rivers then are under fierce pressure and causes more erosion, may cause flooding and stuff downstream. So it's to highlight, to protect the small streams. That's what we're here, really, that's what I'm here today to, and not neglect them. And looking at, we'll say, if they have a ford or passing over them for tractors or for cattle or stuff, if we can try and bridge the watercourses. If we can't do that in the smaller systems, you know, there's ways and means of putting in passages that allow fish movement. Fish movement is also a big issue now with barriers. If the fish can't get up into the spawning grounds, obviously the spawning grounds are of no use then. So it's to try and, you know, work with the farmers and work with the landowners, and they can do their work and still we can mind our fisheries.
They're not exclusive to each other, they can work together.
They can work together, yeah. Like there's ways and means, and there's different times of the year that you can do stuff. So what we would be here, what I'm saying today now is contact fisheries. We're available, you know what I mean? Contact us for a chat to say what you can and can't do from the fishery side of things to protect the water quality, to protect the habitat. Again, the habitat is the big thing, the small streams, protect that. And they can still do their work, they can still cross the rivers. You know, we can still farm the land.
Nutrient runoff from farms causes significant pollution of our rivers and lakes. Terry O'Mahony is a sustainability advisor with Kerry Agribusiness. He was also at the farm walk to explain to farmers how to reduce the runoff of nitrogen and phosphorus from farms to our waterways.
Water quality is a hot topic at the minute. I suppose what we're doing today really is we're just trying to provide advice to farmers on how to, I suppose, deal with the water quality pressures that are there. So I suppose, look, the main pressures to water quality would be phosphorus, nitrogen and sediment. the message we'd be mainly trying to get across is for farmers is to try and maximise the amount of slurry storage that you have. What I mean by that is, I suppose, minimising the amount of clean water that's actually going into tanks, so carrying that slurry storage a bit further so you're not forced spreading that slurry in the springtime when, I suppose, ground conditions and weather aren't suitable. And so I suppose once you have maximised the amount of storage that you have, the next thing then would be looking at increasing slurry storage. And there's a number of like grants available through TAMS, and there's accelerated capital allowances available to help farmers do that for this year and next year. So we'd be encouraging farmers to look at that as well.
And also through your work, there are incentives as well, aren't there?
Yeah, through Kerry Agribusiness, we have our Evolve programme. It's basically our dairy sustainability programme, where we're basically incentivising farmers and encouraging sustainable actions. So I suppose, look, we're supporting farmers with a water quality visit, and we're giving them €200 to put in an action on farm to help water quality in our rivers and streams. But then we also have things to help reduce carbon footprints, like liming. We're incentivising liming, we're incentivising low protein feed, we're incentivising protected urea. So there's a number of measures included in that just to help farmers achieve environmental targets.
Farmers are also being encouraged to plant trees along watercourses. Paul Butler is the Chagask Forestry Liaison Officer. He says trees along rivers and streams filter the runoff of excess nutrients, and they also help the farmer.
There's a lot more understanding of the role that trees can play on a farm. Nobody at this stage is saying you should plant all your farm, but there's a move towards integrating trees into your farm for lots of reasons. One is because you get a good premium and grant and premium income. The second is because there are lots of other services that gives. I mentioned the water quality. When you have trees filtering the runoff from your fields before it gets to a river, over 90% of the silt, the nitrogen and the slurry is filtered from well-established forestry plantations along your riverbanks. I'd even call them woodlands rather than forest. And those are vital for water improvement. Our water quality is deteriorating badly and rapidly, so those work very efficiently and very well. So that's one thing. And then there's other benefits. For example, I was just saying to somebody earlier that we found that lamb mortality on a sheltered field that has trees or high hedges around it or through it, as in the agroforestry program, those sheltered fields actually have 30% less lamb mortality than an equivalent unsheltered field, because obviously the little lambs have a place to get away from the wind and getting chilled. And also we found that the grazing season is extended in those sheltered fields because the grass grows longer and grows earlier, so you have an extension at the beginning of the season and at the end of the season. So it's a win for the farmer in the sense that there's less cost of indoor feeding and indoor housing, and it's a win for animal health and food quality because the animals are grazing outside. Then the other effect is that those trees and those tall hedges actually have deeper roots than the grass. Those deeper roots allow rainfall to penetrate much more into the ground. Rainfall penetrates much more into the ground. There is the consequence of that is that there's a slower runoff into the rivers. There's a slower augmentation of the water volume in the rivers. Therefore, flood events will be mitigated by having adequate, healthy ecosystems on our farms.
So protecting buffer zones near rivers and streams, planting trees along watercourses to filter nutrient runoff from farms, using low emission slurry spreading and protected urea in optimum weather conditions and only if the land needs it, and protecting every small stream because they all flow into our rivers and lakes are the main ways we can make sure we have clean, safe drinking water into the future.